So I know it's a busy time. Everybody's got a lot going on, but what a wonderful, wonderful time to come together and worship the Lord. I'm so glad to be here with you guys this morning. So to kind of give you a little background on what we've been talking about for the last few weeks is little Mary is doing whatever she was doing. An angel of the Lord appears to her. Gabriel appears to her and says, "You have, fear not. Fear not, you have God's favor in your life, and God has handpicked you to be the mother of the Messiah." And Mary says, "Well, how can this be since I am a virgin?" She's asking a question. She's not doubting. She's asking a question. How's this going to be? The angel explains to her that God's going to do his part. And Mary, your part is to trust in God and obey God. Trust in God and obey God, and God will do the impossible. And then with our first verse, the angel says, "Look, I want to give you a heads up. I want to say something to you that can encourage you as you go through this interesting time in your life, Mary. Your relative Elizabeth, who was thought to be barren, who was up in age, is now in her 6th month of pregnancy. And as we know, she is the mother of John the Baptist." So that's where we're at today. Luke 1:36, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren." Look at verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." It's like the angel is telling Mary, "Hey, look, God's asked you to do something really, really big. There's going to be some ups. There's going to be some downs. And you serve a miracle-working God." And that's the same for all of us. We serve a miracle-working God. And the angel says to Mary, "Be encouraged." In so many words, the angel says, "Look at what God is doing. He does the impossible." So yes, God has asked you to do something very big, but I want you to trust in the Lord and lean on him. And matter of fact, if you look at Luke 18 and verse 27, this is Jesus Christ in his ministry. And this is what he said, Luke 18:27. "But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God." If God has called, listen to me this morning. If God has called you to be his servant, and I assure you, he has called you to be his servant. He has called you by name. He has handpicked you to be his servant. And if he has called you to be his servant, he will equip you with what you need. Our job is to trust in his word and to be obedient to what the word says. I'm talking about applying the word to our life. Amen. So if the word says, if the scripture says, don't do it, don't do it. If the scripture says, do it, then do it. Can I get a witness? But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Now look at the very beginning of that verse, those first three words, because this is what really jumps out at me. It says, "But he said." You see that? "But he said." So I'm sure your grandma meant well, but if she told you something that is different than the word of God, we need to go with what the word of God says. I'm sure your professor, I don't know. I don't know. But here's the thing, man. And this is the place where we got to get back to, is just trusting in God's word like a little child. Like little Mary who said, I'm your servant. You got a plan for my life? I'm trusting you. And that's what we got to do as God's servant. Say, you got a plan for my life and I'm trusting in you. And I'm going to obey your word. Matter of fact, you know, if we want to be in God's will, and we all do, we want to be in God's will. We want to fulfill the plan that God has for our life. And I believe he does have a plan for each and every one of us. What does that look like? What is step number one? Same as step number two, obey the word of God. Be obedient to the word of God and trust God. In that way, he can put you, he can elevate you to the place in life where he needs you to be. It's all about being obedient and trusting God. Can I get a witness? He's done the hard part. He's done the heavy lifting. So when I'm going through my trial, I'm going through my storm, I don't need to doubt. I don't need to be fearful. I just need to hold on to the Lord. I'm not saying you don't have real problems. I'm not saying it hasn't been a hard year. I'm certainly not saying next year ain't going to be hard. But I'm saying grab a hold of the Lord and let's do this thing. Can I get a witness? It said, but he said, doesn't matter what your own mind is telling you. It does. Well, the heart wants what the, man, the heart can be so deceitful. And we know this. That's why we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. But he said, not what you said, not what your mama said, not what your best friend said, not what your driver instruction said, not what the nice guy said in the line at Burger King said. I'm talking about what God said. Let God be true and every man a liar. Look at Jeremiah 32 in verse 17. Now, this is awesome. This is what the prophet Jeremiah, is saying. Oh, Lord God, this is so good. Oh, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth. So this is really, really cool. I've said this 20 times if I've said it once. If some gives you a promise, if somebody says they're going to do something, we all automatically begin to weigh it out in our mind. You know, we don't even have to. It's not something we consciously do. If somebody tells you that they're going to do something for you or something like that, you're automatically beginning to think, well, is this person trustworthy? Is this somebody that I can count on? You know, and sometimes people forget, sometimes things happen, but we weigh it out. Is this person trustworthy? Well, look just for a second what the prophet Jeremiah is saying about God's resume, or look what God is saying, just a little tiny bit about his resume right here. Look at these credits. Oh, Lord God, it is you, not me. It is you, not the guy in the White House. It is you who have made the heavens and the earth. That's not too shabby, is it? It is you, God, who made the heavens and the earth. So if he made the heavens and the earth, okay, and he's telling me to trust in him, then we can trust in him. Well, why can't I trust in him? He's the guy that created the heavens and the earth. Why should I put my trust in him? Because he's so mighty and awesome. Well, because he tells you to, but look at this. Oh, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? So here we have little Mary getting this information. Angel says, look, go pay a little visit to your relative Elizabeth. You'll see God's doing amazing things in this day and hour, and he's doing amazing things in this day and hour too. You know, it was a dark time in Israel. They hadn't had a prophet in 400 years. Rome was ruling Israel by the iron fist of Rome. Okay, they were heavily taxed and under the burden of Herod as well in Judea. And here's this angel says, look, something really, really good's about to happen. And this is what I need from you, little Mary. God says, just trust in him and obey him. Mary says, I'm your servant. Let's do this. You know, here we are. We are God's servant. Let's do this. Oh, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth. That's not too bad. By your great power and your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you. I love that. Let's go to the next slide. God is good. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. I had a lot of people ask me this week, Paul, are you putting on whatnot? No, Brother Larry, not really. I'm sure they thought it. I'm working on it. It's about to be the first of the year. I'm working on it. I've had a lot of people ask me, Paul, are we doing church on Christmas Eve? And it's such a good feeling to say, oh yeah. Yeah, we're doing church on Christmas Eve. It's the Lord's birthday. And we want to celebrate it. And I'm so glad. I mean, I'm really, really happy to be with my church family. So Luke 1 and verse 37, the angel says to Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. Mary, you put your trust in me. You put your trust in the Most High God, and he'll do the stuff that you can't do. Now, the NIV says it like this, Luke 1, 37. Now, listen up. For no word from God will ever fail. For no word from God will ever fail. The NLT, for the word of God will never fail. So what does that got to do with the price of tea in China? What does that got to do with me? Well, I can live by God's word. I can trust God's word. I can apply God's word. I can obey God's word. Okay, because what God says in the Bible is true. Listen, hopefully you've already come to that understanding. But sometimes we don't live like that. Sometimes I don't live like that. You know, fear weighs too much. And I get my focus off of the one true God and I end up doing something stupid, right? Temptation is right there. Instead of leaning on the Lord, instead of grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar, you end up doing something stupid, right? Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, so here's the deal. For no word from God will ever fail. So I can go to the scripture and I can stand on what the scripture says. And we need to spend time in scripture. Look at Psalm 138 and verse 8. We can believe God. We should believe God when he says this. If you ever doubt that you are loved, you don't have to doubt anymore. Because there's that God with that mighty outstretched arm, the creator of heaven and earth, who says this about you. Psalm 138 and verse 8. Now, please listen up. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Right there, I can believe God's word when he says something. And this is what God said. He says, I got a purpose. I've got a plan for you. Okay. And I'm going to work that way out. I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to do the stuff that you can't even imagine how these things will line up. I'm going to do that part. But what I want you to do is trust in me and obey me, even when it's not convenient, even when it's not popular. Trust in my word and obey my word. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Listen to this. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Isn't that precious? In this world where people love you on Monday, talking trash about you on Wednesday, hate you on Friday, love you again on Monday, and here we go again. Here's the Lord, and he says, my love for you is so steadfast, and it endures forever. It's not going anywhere. You are loved by God this morning. Merry Christmas. What a wonderful, precious thing to apply to our life, that I'm loved by God. The creator of heaven and earth loves me. Well, how much does he love me? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his son for us. Anyways, moving forward. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. I like this part. Do not forsake the work of your hands. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's work of art. And that's true. That's what scripture says. We are his masterpiece, and he's put so much value into you. Okay? You are precious to him. We are his. Imagine the potter working on the clay. Okay? We're the clay, by the way. That's us. And God's doing his thing. And that don't always feel good, but he's trying to make us more like our big brother Jesus. So we need to yield to that process, that pruning process, right? And that's going to be me obeying what scripture says. Turn the other cheek, so on and so forth, right? So the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. My job is to trust in him. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. This is the marching orders, man, for being a Christian. This is little Mary saying, your will be done. I'm your servant. Let it be just like you said. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's the Christian walk right there. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't let the wind and waves discourage us. We don't let the wind and waves distract us. We don't let our past mess ups keep us back. Amen. We don't let our failures keep us back. We don't let our victories hold us back. We live by faith. I'm putting my trust in God. I'm not going to be discouraged or distracted about what the newsman says, what's going on in the world or whatever. I'm a Christian. I got a Heavenly Father who is devoted to me, and he loves me, and he's got a plan and a purpose for my life. And he says, just trust in me. Just trust in me. And that's that place where we got to come back like a little child, where we just trust. Like when the little baby just trusts in his mama, that his mama's going to be there for him. You know, we got to be like the child that says, you know what? I'm just trusting in you, Lord, because I know you want what's best for me. I know things can get kind of scary sometimes, but I'm just going to trust in you because I know you love me Your love is faithful. You only want what's best for me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at Romans 10 and verse 11. This is a good one too. I'm bringing you gold, gentlemen. Here we go. This is good stuff. Romans 10, 11, for the scripture says, but God says, but the scripture says, so sometimes we got to say, you know what? I'm not going to follow that train of thought because that's contrary to what scripture said. That's not what the word of God says. I'm not that person. I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. The old is gone. The new has come. Yeah. Romans 10, verse 11. For the scripture says, that's what's important. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there will be a time and a place where you will say, and we can say it right now, but I assure you, there'll be a time and a place where you say, man, it was so worth it. It was so worth it for me to reach out there in faith and receive that precious gift that Jesus Christ was offering me. The New American Standard says this, will not be disappointed. So let's read it like this. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be disappointed. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? So we keep serving him, no matter what my mind's, no matter what temptations are trying to pull me away, no matter what regrets or fiery darts are being thrown at me, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to obey God. And in the end, you will not be disappointed. In the end, okay, you will not be put to shame. You will not be disappointed. You look at little Mary's life and she said, your will be done. And she had to go through all this stuff. You know, she had to go through King Herod trying to hunt her down and kill her baby. She had to go through giving birth to a baby in a barn. You know, that's not very sanitary. Can I get a witness? She had to go through all that. She had to see her son being misunderstood his whole life. You know, seeing him being tormented and his flesh being ripped open and the crown of thorns and being nailed to a cross. So Paul, preacher, how can you say she was a disappointed? How can you say that? Well, look, it didn't end at the cross. Just like Jesus Christ, he knew it wasn't going to end at the cross. He knew he had to go through that, but it was for the joy that was set before him. And he endured that because he was thinking about me and you. So it was very much worth it. You know what I mean? It was very much worth it. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. I mean, that's an understatement, isn't it? Very much worth it. Let's go to the next slide, church people. For nothing will be impossible with God, verse 38. This is where the rubber meets the road right here. This is the nitty and the gritty, or as they say, it's the nitty and the gritty. I'm just going to say that. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from me. Mary said, I'm God's servant. God, I want your plan for my life. And that's what he's saying to each and every one of us. Are you my servant? Are you my servant? Did I just save your soul or do I get to be your Lord as well? Am I your Lord and Savior or just your Savior? Because I didn't sign on just to be your Savior. I want to be your Lord. I want you to be my servant. Look at me. Go with me to James 1, verse 22. So this is what Jesus' half-brother says. Did y'all know that? James and Jude was his half-brother. Same mama, different daddy. Can I get a witness? James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word. I go to church, man. Oh, okay, great, good. Man, that's awesome. I believe in God. The demons believe in trembling. Sometimes demons got more faith than we do. You know, they don't doubt about his existence. They know. They know. They don't go back and forth. They know their judgment is set, man, and they can't stand it. But here we go. This is what James says. This is what the Holy Spirit says through James. Let me say it. James 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And it is easy to deceive ourselves. Hey, I went to church. You know, I read some scripture. Man, that's good. We got that's good. That's so important to stay in the word of God. But we have to apply it to our lives. You know what I mean? We got to do what it says. James goes on to say it's like a guy that looks in a mirror, a person that looks in the mirror and then walks away. Like looking at a mirror and seeing you got like half of Nathan's hot dog sticking in your beard or something, and you don't do nothing about it. James says, well, that's what the word of God does, man. You get into the word of God and it shows you what you need to work on. So then work on it. Do what it says, right? That's what James is saying. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, because we're talking about being God's servant. We're talking about for God, for Jesus Christ's birthday, he's saying, I give you my all. I give you my whole. All I can give you is myself. I give you my whole heart. I'm going to trust in your word and I'm going to obey your word, no matter what that looks like. I know in the end, I know in the end, I won't be disappointed. I'm going to trust in you and I'll obey you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to be obedient to you even when I don't want to do it. When my flesh really wants to do something else, I'm going to do what your word says. And in the end, I won't be disappointed. It'll be so worth it. Then I get a witness. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, there's the invitation. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. That is so unpopular, right? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Like little Mary said, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. This is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I'm your servant. God, your will be done in my life. And that's what God wants from me. I can't do that. I can't say no to this. This thing in my life is just too big, man. I've been bound by it forever. I can't not do this. Look at Philippians 4:13, because we really don't have an excuse. And I do know that some things are extremely difficult to get away from. But see, look what Philippians 4:13 says, because I want to be his servant, right? Look at your neighbor and say, I want to be his servant. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him. Remember, what is impossible with man is not impossible with God. I can do all things through him. I can say yes to what I need to say yes to. I can say no to what I need to say no to. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The whole thing is about letting God do what we can't do. You know what I mean? Just trusting in him. Instead of being so stressed out and anxious or depressed or whatever, fill in the blank, God says, look, man, just give me all that stuff. Give me all that stuff. And when Satan tries to give it back to you, rebuke that nonsense. Don't entertain that stuff. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And say no to what I need to say no to, on and on. Let's go to the next slide. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Some people like rap, some heavy metal. What? Did I hear him correctly? Mary trusted in God's word. And God kept his word. God did this impossible thing. You know, here she has the Christ child, you know, the savior of the world. Matter of fact, Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. The shepherds are out in the field doing the thing. They got their dead-end day job, dead-end night job working the graveyard shift. Outcast. Nobody liked the shepherds. They were the bottom of the bottom. Here, this angel appears to him. And just imagine what an amazing thing this would be. Out there in the darkness, maybe a little fire going. The candlelights glowing off in the distance in Bethlehem. Candlelights glowing off in the distance in Jerusalem. Here you are in this no man's land. And all of a sudden, the sky just erupts. The glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. I mean, we can't even begin to understand what that must have been like. But then here's this angel of the Lord. And he says, fellas, I got some good news for you. Luke 2 and verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's read that again real fast. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. As a matter of fact, if you begin to fear, doubt, anxiety, whatever you might be being attacked with, the good Lord just said through this angel, don't be fearful. Why? Well, get into the good news. Get into the word of God, man. See what he says about this situation and trust him. And obey him. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I like that. Angel says, look, what's going on down the road in Bethlehem is for all the people. Not just the Hebrews, not just the Gentiles, but everybody. Everybody. He's the Savior of all mankind. If anybody will accept that precious gift, the gift goes out to everybody. Of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you. So it's for all the people. It's for all of us. But look, when you've had a heck of a week, when it's just been crazy, are you just so stressed, whatever. This is what he says. This is what the Lord says. For unto you. He's an intimate, personal God too. He doesn't just want to save your soul. But he wants to be there for you every single step of the way. He cares about you, and his love is steadfast. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So this is the fulfillment of this prophecy that was given way back in Isaiah, right? Way back in the Old Testament. And this is the fulfillment of what the angel told Joseph. This is the fulfillment of what the angel told Mary. And see, what did Mary do? Trusted in God. God did his part. God will do his part. So we need to grab his promises. Say, well, this is my, I got my prodigal son. I got my prodigal daughter. They don't care about me. It's Christmas Eve. I ain't heard from nobody. Man, don't give up. Grab onto the promises of God and say, God, I'm standing on these promises. You do the impossible. Whatever it might be, we serve a miracle working God. And he still does miracles. He didn't just do miracles in the Bible. Well, he did. Now that we have the scripture compiled, God no longer does. And that's not true, man. God still does miracles. I've seen them with my own life. I've felt them. I've had them happen to me. You know what I mean? Don't believe that. Let God be true in every man alive, because I assure you, he still does miracles, and he still cares about you, and he will always care about you. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you.